June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
3-2, we'll do it again. Swinging a bouncing ball to the right side. Carter's breaking home. The throw by Holiday. The tag is in time, and they get Carter diving to the back part of the base. Sanchez received the throw. He twisted and tagged, and Carter is cut down as the potential go-ahead run. The Rangers are considering a review. Here's the call.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. The runner is safe.
There you go. Chad Fairchild telling the fans at Oriole Park.
That is Jared Sandler with the call on the game you heard right here. We are the home of Texas Rangers Baseball 105. The Phantom RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden in the back. And it is the Sean and RJ show. Sean is back next week. He is on vacation. That could have been a gut-wrenching loss.
I was not looking forward to 920 today.
Ooh, good call.
When Chris Martin gave up that third home run in the seventh inning, and they went down 5-4. I was like, Brett Boone is going to cancel with us. Not just tomorrow, but forever. Because this is he's not going to want to do these hits anymore after games like this. But they rallied.
I don't know, I was on his podcast this week.
Look at that. And you'll hear Brett Boone every Wednesday. Rangers hitting coach every Wednesday at 9:20. This was yesterday. There was so much good to take out of this and so much bad to take out of this. Jacob Latz was incredible.
Phenomenal.
You called it yesterday. You said you thought he was going to give you five really solid innings yesterday. He gave you more than that. He gave you six. And then obviously he just started breaking a little bit there at the end. Six no-hit innings.
You extend a guy who's not used to being extended and you get him into the...
Yeah, it's a reliever throwing six no-hit innings. I'm not going to complain if he walked and gave up a hit in the seventh. But he was fantastic. And then you see them battling back and showing real grit. Sam Haggerty... My gosh, he gets on base, he then steals second, he steals third, gets in position for the sacrifice fly to tie it up in the eighth inning, and then obviously they score there in the 10th, and they come in and they shut the door. And Garcia, with that runner on third and one out, getting that strikeout was huge. So there's some disappointment there, you blowing a lead. You're up 4-0, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 5-4. Great.
Yeah. After when you blow that lead, those were all two strike pitches. Now the first one was 0-2. That was a bad. He missed to Sanchez really bad. He missed by half the plate.
Yeah. Those two cutters he hung.
The other two were, it was like 2-2. But to have three home runs on back to back to back, all of them with two strikes of the hitter. That's not something you see a ton, but, I mean, he missed a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been like, man, that was just one of the gut punches of the day because, I mean, you had complete control of this game. Your starter had complete control of this game. Your opener, really. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, gosh, we've got six outs left.
Yeah.
we had this thing in the bag, and now we have six outs left to get a run. And they did. It's a credit to them.
Dude, the hero of this team, though, that we need to start talking a little bit more about the unsung hero over the last couple weeks, and I've heard Chio talking about him a little bit. It's Sam Haggerty. Oh my gosh. Like the way like Haggerty doing basically putting it on his shoulders there in the eighth inning and then, you know, coming home to score or getting the fielder's choice there and then Carter coming home to score. It was that was such a gritty victory from them that we're not used to seeing.
I know.
Hagee had the stat yesterday, I heard him. He said that when they are tied or trailing after eight, I think, or after seven this year, their record, do you know what it is?
Tied or trailing after seven?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you.
3-32 or something?
Not good.
I mean, brutal.
Yeah.
And last night you were trailing after seven and you tie the ball game, you come up with the run in the 10th, and then you get out of that jam, the natural jam that occurs with the ghost runner. But then getting them over to third with one out. You strike him out, and then you get Jackson Holliday right. to pop it up. That was just a gritty win.
It really was. And I thought, you know, the cynic, because, you know, you see this team just not score so often. When they stranded Seager at second in the ninth, I was like, this is it. I mean, yeah. you got a guy on second base. He gets on, then he steals a base. It's like, all right, he's in scoring position. You got a guy who can handle the bat. Simeon's up. You know, old school baseball drops a bunt down.
Yep.
I mean, just get that guy. You're just at that point in the ninth inning, you're playing for one run, but that's not the sport anymore. I get it. But yeah, I mean, I was like, oh God, they're going to want to blow in this thing. They had it.
Yeah.
But they win. Yep. By the way, do you call it a ghost runner or a zombie runner? Because Raymond calls it a zombie runner.
I call it ghost runner.
I call it a ghost runner too.
Yeah, because I mean, it essentially is.
It's a ghost.
That's what it is. Yeah. How have you felt about that rule, by the way? I hate it. I know everybody else generally likes it.
I'm fine with that. I don't want to see 20 innings. My kids were asking me yesterday. We were coming back from baseball, and they go, what's the longest game ever played? I'm like, dude, it's like 20-something innings, man. You know, I'm like, it took forever.
Was it the Harvey Haddix game?
Probably. I don't know. I think.
Do you know that reference?
Wade Boggs said he played in it.
No.
You don't know the? Do you know the Harvey Haddix game?
No.
He was the Pirates pitcher in the 1950s who threw 12 perfect innings and then lost in the 13th.
Dude, that's like the Warren Spahn Juan Marichal game. They both threw 16 shutout innings. And then Mays hit a home run in the 17th.
I think Pedro was
or something like that.
I think Pedro was perfect into the 10th with the Expos one time and lost that. But man, this is a game where I don't know about you if this is something you like to see, but the fact that we're four games now in a row without a home run, not that you like to see necessarily the no home run, but you're four games now in a row without a home run. I think you've got two extra base hits in the last four games.
Yeah. You got to get it. That's the thing. Like, I like to see them be able to find ways to score.
That's what I'm saying. Are you happy to see at least, like, they put up six runs last night with just a single extra base hit?
Yeah, I like that they could score and manufacture runs, but that's just a very difficult way to live.
Right, it is. But if you can show you can do that, like, it gives you a shot on the nights where you're off.
It does.
And they haven't gotten a lot of that.
No, they haven't.
And it does tell you that, like, all right, if you can become that team that can score six runs when you get just a double and that's it, you can be the team that scores 12 to 13 when you're hitting the ball out.
You can. Yeah, because like that's obviously when you hit the ball out, you're gonna or get extra base hits, you're getting that much closer to scoring. So the Rangers get the victory over Baltimore, and now they set up a little bit of a rubber match today at Camden Yards. So we will have that game for you. 5:35 first pitch, 5:00 pregame.
Yeah, why are these 5:35 starts?
6:35 in Baltimore.
I know, but like, why are Baltimore games starting 6:35 locally? As when I was a kid, Baltimore games would start at 6 or 6:30 here locally because it was East Coast. But
right?
Why are they starting 6:30 in Baltimore? Nobody else does that.
Pirates do the same thing. They did that last week as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams now start at like just 7 local time, but I guess certain teams start at 6:30 local time.
What a lazy city that sounds like. Like, oh, we gotta go to bed.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of softies. That's what it sounds like.
I think it actually is trying to get people into the stadium.
This actually makes sense, though.
You're out of there by 9:00. It's Baltimore.
It makes sense that they're a little bit like, how much work do we want to put in? Because, I mean, Sean did come from there, and then he took that, like, what was it, 5 months of paternity leave.
Yeah.
A year later.
Right.
So it makes sense. That's where he got it from. Yep,
absolutely. Could make
all
good.
Praise to Allah.
Could make a good bit of sense, but it'll be DeGrom on the hill today, 5:35 right here on the Fan.
By the way, shout out really quickly because I've thrown dirt on his name enough. I should be nice. Luke Jackson was very good last night.
He was.
So I'm just going to give him credit for that.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
Personal growth, chap.
It is Cooper Flag Day. NBA draft. I can't believe they're making this a two-night event.
Dude, they can't. Like, I don't know. The NFL, when they went to, all right, we're doing first round, then we're doing day two with second to third, and then we're doing fourth through seventh. Because, Peyton, I don't know if you young whippersnapper remember, there was a time.
Two-day event.
Draft was 2 days. You got the first, second, or third round all in the same day.
It can be done. They just drag it out.
Yeah, they do this on purpose. The draft used to be Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday, so you'd have the first round in the morning, and then they would go until evening.
God, I'm old enough to remember when they had 15 minutes for the first pick.
Gosh, it was brutal. Yeah, and 15 minutes still wasn't enough for the Vikings.
Yeah, or the Raiders always took the 15.
The Vikings ran out of time, and then that was when there was that rush to run the pick up there, and Dallas ran up there. That it was, you know, they were taking Roy Williams. I think it was that draft or the Terrence Newman draft. I can't remember what it was, but it caused this rush of like three teams running up trying to turn in their cards. But yeah, it's a two-night event for the NBA. Why don't you worry about just consistently getting people engaged in the games before you just say, let's drag this out for 2 days?
Yeah, because like, you know, even in the second round, what is the drop-off in first to second round of the NFL draft in terms of a viewership? I mean, your diehards are the only ones sticking around for day two.
Yeah.
It's like day two is like, you know what? Just tell me who they picked. I'll be fine.
Honestly, it's not a lot of people. Or day three, especially. Day two, there's still probably some intrigue because you're like, how did that guy fall?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how much more ratings were boosted by Shador hanging around till day three.
Oh, I bet you they were.
But nobody's waiting around to see who the second round picks are in the NBA.
No, and it is Cooper Flagg Day, and they will take him number one. And then you'll be sitting around waiting to see, hey, are they going to do anything else? Are they going to maybe move back in? Probably not. But you know what? What else happens? What other storylines? Like the Nets? Don't the Nets have like 8 picks today?
They're stacked.
They have a ton of picks today. What's going to happen around the rest of the sport? The teams that the Mavs are always working with, competing against. So, look, it is it's a fun day. The intrigue is sapped because we know who they're going to take. That is the one thing.
All the intrigue is sapped because not only do we know who they're going to take, we also know what the contract situation is for one of their biggest stars now. So we literally have nothing to wait around for.
Which is
Kyrie Irving is back. He opted out of his deal. Did you see the tweet last night how did you find this news? Did it just pop into your timeline and you saw it from Shams? Or did you hear it from somewhere?
I heard it. It was either a text. Somebody texted me or what?
Man, when I saw this news, I thought for a second there he was announcing that he was gone. Like there was a little bit of like some sort of panic level that was in there because Schaub said, breaking, Dallas Mavericks 9-time NBA All-Star Kyrie Irving has declined his $43 million player option and intends to sign a 3-year. And then I was like, intends to sign? Like typically, like when he's reporting it, I feel like he's saying, and is signing a whatever deal, like he's reset. But I was like, intends to sign? Well, that's because free agency hasn't started yet. So he intends to sign a 3-year deal when free agency opens with somebody. But and they had this picture of Kyrie just looking like disheveled. And I was like, oh my gosh, they actually blew this. And then they said, no, he's sticking around. But it is it's basically a 2-year deal because he does have a player option for 27-28, which is the same year AD has a 2-year option.
Right.
As so, Spieth Island pointed out, that's a 2-year window then for Nico.
So here it is. AD and Kyrie are locked. The contract expires at 28. Klay Thompson's deal expires at 27. Gafford's expires in 29. PJ in 26. And Lively in 27.
Yep.
I mean, it is as windowy as it gets.
But you know what?
Look, I don't hate that they did it. I'm not against it. I kind of like it.
You don't hate the Kyrie move specifically or the structure here?
Either one.
I don't hate the Kyrie move at all.
I don't hate the Kyrie move. I mean, look, if they had said, thanks, but no thanks, you're going to decline your whatever, I'd have been okay with that.
If Kyrie left, I don't know that the Cooper Flagg thing is a nice salvage piece for them anymore. I think if Kyrie left, fans would be furious at them. I think they'd be furious at them all over again. Payton, where are you?
I don't care. Kyrie is like, I don't have like a Luka love.
No, it's not a Luka level, but it's like, I mean, that's his hermano, remember? That like, if Kyrie were to leave, I don't know. Let us know on the fan text, 877-881-1053. If Kyrie would have left, would that have just destroyed any goodwill of the Cooper Flagg pick? What do you think, Payton?
It would have destroyed everything because I think there's a lot of hype, obviously, around Cooper Flagg. But yes, that would have killed a lot of momentum, I think, going into the draft and kind of as we're slowly trying to get over the Luka, you know, problem that he is gone officially, you know. I think there would have been a bigger deal. Like, yeah, if you compare the two, AD and Kyrie, like if AD left, I don't think a lot of fans would have cared as much. But Kyrie, they loved Kyrie. He finally got over his hump and, you know, having bad media and, you know, New York and Boston and everything like that. So he was a good player for us. And I think a lot of people wanted him back.
Well, he is back and he'll be back through 2028.
And his deal, the way that it's structured, the Mavericks apparently are going to save about $6 million
yeah.
on his number this year. And so if that's the case, that's basically enough money to go get whoever is replacing him until he's healthy.
Yeah, probably.
And
yeah.
so whoever that would be, I know, and we'll probably get into some names later on, but I mean, there were some names floating around yesterday from Shams and different people like, oh, could they look at Chris Paul, which I know you would love.
Chop, I would not
a love Chris
that.
Paul edition. Chris go. Paul, could they look at D'Angelo Russell, just some other names floating out there.
I like
there.
Russell. All right, it is Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. Aaron Rodgers speaks, and a friend of the show says this NFC East team needs to ditch their quarterback. We go around the NFL next on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Happy Capture the Flag Day. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Sharif is out, as he's known to be from time to time. I'm Bobby Belt.
Time to time.
He's RJ Choppy, Peyton Russell on the board, Aiden Butler running things on the fan cam. And our 20-year national nightmare is almost mercifully over. RJ Choppy, Aaron Rodgers is about to hang it up.
Well, that would be the indication that he gave yesterday on the PMS show, the Pat McAfee show.
Usually he's about indica and not indications.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
He puts the indica in indication.
Yes, he does. So this is Aaron Rodgers, who is a new member of the Steelers. I don't know if you heard about this.
I've heard it.
Yes, he is a new member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he was asked about his future in a very Eric Chia follow-like question, about 40 seconds. Cut that out. But he was asked about his future.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL? With Mike Tomlin and the great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
But whether or not he actually does retire, it certainly feels like this is his final year. He's shown an ability to change his mind.
Yeah, he's a little finicky. Yeah, you might say. But, yeah, or fickle.
That's a Packer thing, right? Favre was the same way. But you know, he's also earned the right to change his mind. I think, honestly, it all depends on how he does. If he goes out there and he wins in his final year, you know, he quits. I think he retires. Like Elway and Manning, I think he just rides off. If he is terrible, like awful, I think he's done. I think he just quits. If he's like a top 10 quarterback and they make the AFC Championship game and they lose, I could see him coming back.
Can I – you just said something which I'm going to dovetail off of a little. You mentioned that it's a Packer thing because Favre did it. Do you think that's more just a
competitor?
The greats. Like that they have this problem letting go. Because I think you've got examples of it in the other two sports. So Favre is the guy in the NFL who, retired. Nope, I'm coming back. Retired. Nope, I'm coming back. Around that same time, we had Roger Clemens doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Where every single year it was like, I'm retired. Nope, I'm just going to sit out half the year. And then I'm going to come back.
I just want to skip spring training.
Yeah, and it was like, it became this thing where it's like, is he going to play or not? What's he doing? And then Jordan was that way. Jordan retired, came back. Like, and so is there just something about some of these guys who are greats? It's like, they just don't know when to say stop.
I think a lot of people just can't quit it. Look how many people in our industry quit their radio job. They retire. They have podcasts.
Oh, dude, I've...
You're 75 years old. You do a, like just enjoy retirement.
It's
man.
Been called by radio people have referred to the desire to be in this industry. We'll refer to this as the bug. Like, oh, I got the bug. Because it's like You want to get away. Like, what am I doing here? I'm not even, like, a lot of people who are just like, I'm not even making money here anymore. But for some reason, I'm going to go get a weekend board op job, even though I've been out of radio for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be around the industry. It's probably a similar thing. It's just we're not making millions to do it.
Right. It's very similar. And
well,
listen,
Sean is, but not us.
It's it's your whole identity.
Mm-hmm.
For these athletes, it's all they've done. And the thing is, like with athletics compared to anything else, you can't like quit and then 3 years later go back at that age.
It's so weird with Rodgers though, because Favre, it was football. That's what he had. Jordan was like basketball was his thing, like he was obsessive with it. Clemens was like obsessive with the game. Rodgers feels like a guy who he doesn't need it. Like he does all of his off-season stuff, and he wants to go on trips and stuff. Like he seems like he's got so many other varied interests. I'm surprised he keeps coming back. I would have thought he would have retired 3 years ago, so he could just go off and do.
It's probably ego.
The thing he wanted.
Look, that's going to happen to all of us. You know, we're going to retire one day and get, and then 2 years later, we're going to wake up. You know what? Let's do a podcast.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to happen. It happens to everybody. You know, and you know, doesn't matter what sport it is. I mean, I'm sure you get the. Now there are some guys who could just retire and never think. I bet you Barry Sanders didn't even think about football.
Probably not.
There's a lot of guys who don't hear a word from him.
Yeah, a lot of guys don't even follow it anymore once they retire. And so that sort of thing happens. I'm ready for it to be done.
Well, he wasn't done.
Oh, God.
He was not done. So one of the stories that has kind of controlled the Rodgers offseason since he signed with Pittsburgh has been, is he or is he not married? His wedding to Brittany. That's all we know about her, Brittany. It's like Cher. Brittany, Madonna, just Brittany, right?
I hear Brittany, I think of the Chipmunks.
I think of Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah, that's probably more reasonable.
Maybe one more
Brittany
time.
Mahomes is who I think of.
You think of Brittany Mahomes or Britney Spears?
Remember,
huh?
He has a weird obsession with Brittany Mahomes. He thinks she's like super hot.
Kind of bad.
No. If she's super hot, what was Brittany?
I mean, Brittany to me, not to get too far down the tracks, but Brittany to me was, I've always said, 99 to like 02, Brittany is arguably
careful, because she might have been like 15.
No, she was 18.
Okay, cool.
And I was younger than that. I was younger than that.
That's true.
99 That's true. To like 02, Brittany was arguably the most attractive woman that's ever lived.
I'm not arguing that.
I think it's at least a conversation.
It's 100% in the conversation.
It's like when Sean's here and we're doing NFL overreactions. He's like, I don't know that I agree with it, but not an overreaction. Yeah. What
not
I
an
said,
overreaction.
It's not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely, positively, in the discussion, in the running, for the most attractive person that ever lived.
Yeah.
That era of Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he did not hold back on his hatred for the paparazzi and how they have questioned his relationship.
It's a sick society, isn't it? It's a sick society. I lived in a public eye for 20 years. I had a public relationship. How did that work out? You know, I had people leaking my home information and making up stories that we bought a house together. I had people calling the paparazzi. I had people, posting personal life on the internet. And now, didn't want any of that. Didn't like any of that. And now I'm with somebody who's private, who doesn't want to be in the public eye. Didn't sign up to be, a celebrity, doesn't want to be a part of it. And because I do things in private because I want my personal life to be private. Now I'm somehow like now I'm weird, and now the paparazzi is stalking me on the beach, trying to get a picture of her, or stalking me at the workout. What is the entitlement to information that we're living in society these days, where that's like a norm? It's a norm to like be able to have athletes' addresses. They posted something that I, you know, about a house I bought in Pittsburgh, and here's the inside of it, and here's where it is. What happened to common decency about security and a personal life that we now have to dive into your details of where you live and what you're doing and who you're with and who your wife is and if you even have a wife and if you're doing some sort of attention-grabbing thing?
Look, this is again speaks to the idea of why are you here still then? If he were to retire and he were to be out of it, I don't think the paparazzi, A, they probably don't ever find out he got married. B, he's even if they find out, I don't know that they're hounding him.
Oh yeah, because they found out by the ring on his when he was at a press conference, right?
Yeah, he was standing there like, is that a wedding ring? He's like, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you really want out of this, if you want to get away from this, then do so.
I will say there is an element to what he's saying that is 100% true.
Yeah. Oh no, he is right.
He's right. First of all, why is where you live public record?
Right. I mean, I don't know.
Why is your home address available to the public? That makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm sorry, but where I live is 100% private. It's private to the only people who should know where I live or where you live is you and the police, and that's it. And maybe the government, whatever, right? But you get what I'm saying?
I mean,
I should not be able to go online and find out Corey Major's address. Unless he wants me to know where I live.
Not in this day and age. You probably shouldn't, because it's only going to be used for nefarious means. But 1950s, like, it was...
In the phone book.
It was useful to have a phone book that had people's addresses and stuff. Like it was just a different world, and it's probably just we haven't totally adjusted to what that reality means today.
What happened? Did we play the Bieber thing last week? Yeah, we did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What happened with Bieber on the beach? Like, why are you waiting for him at his car? You're just a loser.
Yeah.
The paparazzi. I thought we got rid of the paparazzi. We should have with Diana. We should have gotten rid of the paparazzi then. But why are you waiting for Aaron Rodgers outside the beach?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you are able to get a picture of it, I mean, it's money. It's financial driven, because you will get whatever amount comes with that. Have you ever seen Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal?
I don't think so, no.
It's about this. It's not paparazzi-like, but it's about these people who they go and get footage or whatever else, and then they go into newsrooms and they sell it, and they're able to get a bunch of money for it. So, I mean, like, it's that kind of a motivation, obviously, is to be able to get whatever reaction from Justin Bieber or get whatever photo from Aaron Rodgers or whatever else. It's just, to me, it's like, you could avoid this, dude. You could avoid it if you would just... You could walk away. Like, I mean, I get it. If he loves it, he loves it, but he acts like he doesn't love it very much anymore. And he talks and does all these different things like he doesn't seem to love it, or like he loves other things more. So why drag this out? And why go to Pittsburgh for one more year, rehabbing the Achilles, everything else, to just welcome this?
I think he views his time with the Jets, because of the injury, as a missed opportunity. And he wants to show that he could succeed outside of Green Bay. And I think he said, I'm going to give it 1 year after the injury to see how it is. And then if it fails, it fails. That's my guess.
I get it. I mean, I just don't know. I also don't understand something else from yesterday, Chop. Did you see what Deontay Johnson said about Kenny Pickett?
No.
This is another former Pittsburgh Steeler. Two of them, actually. Kenny Pickett and Deontay Johnson, guys who were teammates in Pittsburgh. They are now both on the Cleveland Browns, and they've got a bit of a quarterback competition there in Cleveland. Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, they're all out there. Deontay Johnson says he already knows who it is. He was on the Sports and Suits podcast, and he said, I think they're going to roll with Kenny Pickett for right now. He said, I've been seeing Kenny go in like right now with the ones, then Joe will come in. I think they're probably going to roll with him just to see, like, he's coming off a season in Philly and having a Super Bowl. So I think they're going to stick with him through the preseason. Then they can live with Joe and what he brings to the table. It's like, why are you talking about an open quarterback competition at all? This is probably one of the reasons why Pittsburgh wanted to get rid of Deontay Johnson. Mm-hmm. Is that, could you imagine there's an open quarterback? Imagine during the Romo and Dak thing, right? We're in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And Dez Bryant were to go, like weigh in at all and say who it should be.
Said a word.
Because you can't identify, because whoever the team ends up picking, if they pick somebody else, you've created a massive amount of tension.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I think this is a double, and I get it. They're boys from Pittsburgh, probably. Mm-hmm. They played there. They were close. But to me, I think this is ridiculous for him to say anything like that.
I agree. I don't think you can say a word. You're not supposed to,
even if Pickett is the favorite. Just don't say it. Just don't bring it up. There's a certain code.
That's a long jam, though.
I mean, but what's the old like line about, like, if you have four quarterbacks, you have none?
Yeah.
That's what Cleveland's looking at. It's Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. It is Cooper Flag Day. We got more on that in the 7 o'clock hour. Do we all owe an apology to Oklahoma City? And why the hell was Brian Broaddus saying this yesterday?
Crapping in your pants is not a bad thing.
Nope. That's not AI Broaddus. That's real Brian Broaddus. And we're going to get the entire context next on 105 Through the Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
1 hour from now, we chop it up here on 105 The Fan during the commercial-free expressway. It is the 6 a.m. club, though, right now on Sean and RJ on 105 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden. And before we get into the parade, if you want to call it that, in Oklahoma City, we're like a, you know, very small gathering.
Yeah.
Very small gathering, if you want to call it that, too. At Oklahoma City, we tease some Brian Broaddus audio, and Bobby wants to get to that. Right now.
Yeah, this is quite something. I heard this during Crosstalk yesterday. So there's a deleted post now on the Tampa Reddit forum that had blown up, and it's been screenshotted and shared again on Reddit all over the place. And it was kind of blown up yesterday, and Eric and Zach were talking about it during Crosstalk, which it's about old Ric Flair. So the title was of the post was, "Does Ric Flair keep coming to your restaurant and S-ing himself?" It says, "This man has S-ed himself like 6 times this year, drunk as F, at bars and other restaurants. He gets thrown out of Water Street places all the time. Anybody in the service industry having to deal with this S too?" And apparently there were just a bunch of people go like, "Oh, Ric Flair is apparently just drunk and crapping himself all over Tampa."
Do you believe
in the
that?
Last few months? Yes. Yeah, do you?
No.
Man.
That like maybe once I buy. Going around just being a serial pooper.
He's 75. Like, who knows how much control he even has anymore if he's then throwing alcohol on top of it? Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, my dad was 75. He was pooping himself.
Well, one guy who was coming to his defense, Ric Flair's defense, was Brian Broaddus during this discussion. He heard them going back and forth.
He's the closest one.
And Broaddus goes, "You know what? I'm not going to stand for this crusty slander.
Oh, no.
I'm defending this man like I would defend my own father."
You know, it happens. My dad let one rip in church the other day. Like,
drop his pants?
It might have. I don't know. I mean, he's 86 years old, and like all of a sudden, it's a quiet portion of church.
But I don't think that's everybody's why this is happening.
Up, everybody's standing up, and it gets a, you know, and everybody's kind of like, "I'm just looking straight ahead." And it's the first time it's happened in a lot of years. And, you know, I'm sitting there, and everybody in church is old, too, and they're kind of like, "Hey, at least it wasn't me."
Yeah.
You know, my dad acted like nothing happened. You know,
except
so
he didn't want to sit down again after
he sat down, but you know, it's the thing about it. You get to a certain point in time and crapping in your pants is not a bad thing.
You just soil yourself.
You're so old. You don't.
Good thing.
Yeah. If you're your age right now and you crap in your pants, it's Eric's age. It's a really bad plan.
He could have just said,
trying to say the plumbing's still working? I don't know how it's ever.
It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. Better out than in.
I guess. Yeah, that little Broaddus blowing his tongue.
I was behind me when Broaddus did that.
That's why I love sitting next to babies and old people on airplanes.
You'll just blame it on them.
Because you have free reign. You can just bury your butt in that seat. Just let them rip the entire flight.
Do you bury or do you not raise up off
I'm
the
not
seat?
If I'm on an airplane, I'm not raising. I'm burying. I bury it, okay?
Oh, I got to raise.
I know, ideally, but there's no room in the plane, right? There's not a lot of room. And then if you raise, you keep yourself away. If you bury, you blame it on the old guy next to you or the baby.
No, you got
to
do like the twist and turn method where you like kind of, you're stretching. My back. You're stretching and then you do whoop.
I also feel like, you get more sound if you lift. If you just bury, there's no sound.
Depending on what the kind of chair is. If it's a cloth chair, sure. But
yeah,
if it's one of those vinyl looking ones that like sometimes Southwest has, That's going to create a surface to reverberate on.
Man, the ones in school were the tough ones. The wooden ones, it would really flap against that. That was a tough one.
Either way, Broaddus apparently thinks once you reach a certain, when you get your AARP card, you are also now, it's not a bad thing if you S yourself, which Eric, by the way, has talked about before. That's why he talked about Eric there. Eric has said this has happened to him several times and that it happened to him recently, that while he was outside playing with his girls, he had this situation and he had to just run inside. He's like, "Guys, playtime's over. I gotta go inside and gotta change." So Eric has this happen himself. Not cool when you're that age, but I guess Broadus thinks as long as you're Ric Flair's age, you can do that freely as much as you want.
Yeah, well, maybe, maybe. All right, it is Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. This is the Oklahoma City mayor. Now, Oklahoma City had their parade yesterday. They had their NBA championship parade through the streets of Bricktown.
It was an intimate parade. It was an intimate gathering.
It was an intimate gathering.
It was like an MTV Unplugged set.
Yes, it was a very intimate gathering. This is the mayor making a very strong statement.
The greatest player to ever put on the uniform, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Nope.
The greatest player to put on the uniform.
Nope.
Is okay, so.
Yeah, because Russell Westbrook played for them.
I get why you would say that. Shut up. I get why you would say that. Why he would make that statement, and nobody in that crowd is going to push back against it, but just objectively outside, yeah, we have to look at that and say, call him BS.
Yeah, like Durant's the GOAT.
Yeah, Durant's the best player of all time. But like not of all time like that, but of all Oklahoma City time.
Right, like let's be, you know, and even if Durant played there 1 year, like whoever put on the uniform.
Yeah.
You know, like... you know, Corey Seager's the only Ranger shortstop to win a World Series. If you're being real, like, A-Rod was better.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's not a slight to Corey Seager. A-Rod.
No, it's not a slight at all.
Outside of everybody's distaste for him as a fraudulent personality, yeah, or whatever else, A-Rod objectively is like one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
Absolutely.
You get very, it's, if you talk about greatest shortstops and greatest third baseman of all time, it's, you're not getting deep into either list before you're saying A-Rod.
If you say that A-Rod is not only the best shortstop, if you say he's the best Ranger player ever, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, he's not the most beloved.
No, but yeah, the numbers he put up when he was here were absurd. But
what he did, yeah, I mean, he was like just tremendous. So it's not a slight to say that, it would not be a slight to say KD is the greatest Oklahoma City Thunder. He may not be the most meaningful or the most beloved, but the greatest to put on the uniform in Oklahoma City was clearly Kevin Durant.
3 years here in Texas for A-Rod. How many games do you think he missed in 3 years?
Six.
One.
Oh.
What do you think his batting average was while he was in Texas?
308.
305. His on-base percentage was 395.
That's solid.
His OPS was 1,011.
Oh, God.
And... my gosh, I did. Yeah, he averaged.
He had to have in those 3 years, 128 homers.
No, he averaged 52 home runs a year while he was here. He had 156 in 3 years. That's the greatest Rangers player of all time. It doesn't mean he's the greatest Ranger of all time. He is the greatest player to put on a Rangers uniform, though.
Right. Yes. And that's the key.
That's how it's. So, unless you want to count Ted Williams as the manager. I mean, they technically put one on. He just wasn't playing when he did it. But no, yeah. Now, Shai, are we discounting Shai a little too much?
I mean,
we had that stat earlier this year. He is the only player in NBA history, aside from Michael Jordan, to have three straight seasons of 30 points and 5 assists.
He eventually, I think, will be. You know, because he's going to be there for a long time. But right now, you just can't say that. I don't believe.
By the way, we made the AARP joke earlier about Broadus.
Yeah.
Fantech says AARP stands for Always Assume Repetitive Pooping.
There we go. Now, speaking of the finals, where does the Oklahoma City Thunder come from? Well, they were in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And nobody respects Petty like we do. What do we make of how this Seattle TV station on Fox 13 Seattle covered, in air quotes, the NBA Finals?
Finally tonight, unfortunately, the Indiana Pacers lose Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Big game for the Sounders tomorrow. We will see out at Lumen Field.
Man, that is some North Korea soccer Olympic stuff right there.
I love it.
They scored a goal in the 56th minute, but they don't announce the final score.
That's just solid tug in cheek.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
This is straight out of the. I love it. Nobody wants to hear about OKC if you live in Seattle anyway. Hell yeah.
Does anybody want to even hear about OKC and OKC? Because we didn't even, you mentioned the mayor yesterday. I'm stunned there was anybody even there to hear what the mayor said. Now, obviously, in the actual, wherever they ended up, the final, like, it was packed with people. There were a lot of people there. You could see in the pictures. But there were definitely some videos yesterday of them on this parade route where it's like, I mean, it looks like dozens.
Dozens.
Like, I mean, yeah. Those,
considering what the Rangers had at the ballpark, they had 700,000 people.
Oh, yeah. This parade was not nearly as big as the Rangers parade.
Oh, it was not even close.
Why do they have these things on a Tuesday during the week? Why can't we just push everything to, like, a Friday?
I felt like this was too fast as well.
And the Rangers was a Friday, right?
Well, but they clinched on a Wednesday, I think. They usually have it like 2 or 3 days after. Yeah. Like,
is
the
it
Celtics
that quick?
Were the same thing last year.
But ours was like 2 o'clock on a Friday, I think. The Rangers parade.
I was there, yeah. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Oh.
No, it was... was it earlier, maybe?
I don't know.
We had to leave early to get there. Because we had to leave like with 30 minutes left in the show. Or I did. And then you got there. I think it started before
noon.
I
got there right at 11, I think. Because I left right after the show.
I want to say it started like 11:30 or noon or something like that. But either way, that felt like... I thought that was a quick turnaround. Like, we barely had time to digest.
Right.
It happened and then there. Maybe it's not though. I always felt like parades were usually like 4 days after.
Well, yeah. The Thunder already had their buses. Remember the video that was...
Right.
Going viral.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle wasn't happy about it. They already had the buses, everything planned out.
They did. They had it all planned out. Let's put a bow on the Stanley Cup Finals. So we talked about the TV ratings for the NBA Finals the other day. We're at 16 million for the final game. How about this? This is a report. So TNT had the games for the Stanley Cup Final. What percentage of homes, Peyton, in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale TV market watched the clinching game of the Stanley Cup Final between Florida and Edmonton?
I would hope 40%.
40%. It's three.
Oh, no.
97% of homes did not watch the Stanley Cup Final in Miami.
Josh Hamilton would say that's not a hockey town.
That is not a hockey town. That's embarrassing. Meanwhile, you had, according to the report, that the Buffalo Bandits, which are an NLL team on the CW, had higher local TV ratings than what the Stanley Cup Final had in Miami. That ought to tell you all you need to know. That is not a hockey town. And you want to go to Atlanta, Gary Bevan?
Yeah.
Credito to the Panthers because... Biz Nasty on the Spit and Chicklets pod said they racked up $500,000 bill at a Miami nightclub like the next night after they won the cup.
Good for them. Party.
$500,000.
Party it up. Do what you got
to
do.
When the Mavs went down to Miami and they won the title, I mean, they were at all these nightclubs.
You guys, I know you guys went to Miami for something. Were you there on the clinch, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were in every game.
And they were...
Dude, it was. We didn't follow him because we had to wake up the next morning and do a show.
Soft. Y'all were younger then. You could have done it. You would have been 32. You would have been like.
Oh, I was. Yeah, well, I was like ready. We were ready to go. We would have done it, but like we couldn't follow. We don't know where they were. By the time we got out of there, it was just midnight. But man, they were going all night long. It was fun. It was fun. So I loved it, but there you go. Nobody watched in South Florida. Have the Cowboys find themselves in unfamiliar territory. 7 o'clock hour next on 105 through the Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or Men'sTeaClinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.